Not right wing. Just right. The Rick Smith Show.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoked.
Come on.
Get it started.
Come on.
Get it started.
Get it started.
Let's get it started.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So while the horrible health care bill may not look like it's going to pass, and look, they still got till Friday to dream up something just as dangerous and ugly and horrible. But it looks like they're going to go away to recess. They're going to go back to their districts and dream up what next to assault. And look, the next attack is going to be the budget. While this health care bill, not health care, while this is about massive tax cuts, the next thing, the budget, really going to be about more for the 1%. Here to talk about the budget and what we can expect, what we need to be doing, what we need to be focusing on, Harry Stein, Director of Fiscal Policy there at the Center for American Progress. Harry, thanks for taking time for us.
Good to be on the program.
So massive tax cuts in the health care bill, massive tax cuts in the budget, and of course, well, massive tax cuts down the road. At what point do we get to pay for anything?
Well, you know, what they're going to be doing is, like you say, first they come for health care, and then in the budget it's going to be everything else. And in both cases, the health care cuts and the cuts to everything else in the budget, things like disability benefits and nutrition assistance, all of that is going to be about paying for tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires.
Right.
And that's you know, the whole reason that it seems like they're doing a budget, that they want to do a budget for this year, is to pass tax cuts and to do that through a process called reconciliation, which is how they're doing healthcare right now. And the important thing to understand about reconciliation is that they can pass the legislation without any Democratic votes in the Senate. It's a way of avoiding a filibuster. So it's a way to ram through partisan legislation. That's what they're trying to do on health care. It's what they'll do next on the budget.
Now, it's amazing to me. It took 60 votes to pass the Affordable Care Act. It's only going to take 50 to destroy it.
Right. So it's actually interesting. With the Affordable Care Act, there were actually two bills. They passed a bill with 60 votes. And then when they amended the bill at the same time that they passed the Affordable Care Act, they actually amended it through reconciliation. So the bulk of the bill was passed with 60 votes. But then reconciliation was used to tweak it. This was after Scott Brown had won the Senate seat and Democrats lost their 60-vote majority. But you're absolutely right. Even though it took 60 votes to lay the architecture of the Affordable Care Act, it really only takes 50 to take it away. And the reason for that is that what they're basically doing is taking away all of the support that people get through the architecture of the Affordable Care Act to get health insurance. And they're also, of course, cutting the taxes for the wealthy that were meant to pay for the law.
You know, at some point, when do we, as a nation, you know, wake up to the reality that this tax cut fetish? Because everything seems to be about tax cuts. Everything that the Republicans bring us is about, oh, we're going to do this, but we're going to give massive tax cuts to people who don't really need it, or in most cases, don't even really want it.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how everything that's being pushed this year has been about cutting taxes for the wealthy. And even things that it seems like that would be so irrelevant to the conversation. First and foremost, a health care debate. Why are we talking about cutting taxes for the wealthy in a health care debate? But you saw that also in even the Trump child care plan and infrastructure plan are really just tax giveaways for the wealthy and corporate investors. It's kind of staggering that it seems like this is just the you know, any policy area, the answer that we're getting from Trump and his friends in Congress is tax cuts for the wealthy. I get the sense that there's a little bit of a waking up to this. You know, I don't know how real this is, but we have heard from some of the Republicans in the Senate saying, well, hold on, why are we cutting taxes for the wealthy in this bill? Now, I don't know if at the end of the day they'll actually vote no or not. I hope they do. But there does seem to be some recognition that this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to voters, at least.
Well, I mean, I would argue it's because it's who they are. I mean, it's the only tool that they have in their toolbox. And if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So the fix to everything, the panacea to, you know, the utopian world is the rich pay no taxes. And, well, if 20 million people don't get health insurance, hey, it was their choice.
I think that's right. It's the old makers and takers rhetoric that we'd hear from people like Paul Ryan. I think that there is this view that that the way to solve all of our problems is to make it easier for rich people to keep more of their money.
And again, even that, it's more of their money. But at the end of the day, I keep saying, look, they needed workers. They needed government. They needed infrastructure. They needed all these things to make that money. At the end of the day, you don't get to not pay your workers. You don't get to not invest in infrastructure. You don't get to not pay for education and then end up taking all of the wealth from that. It seems insane to me. But yet the conversation isn't in that realm at all.
No, and that's absolutely right. I mean, people's success in this country is built on the society that we've built, and a lot of that is things like healthcare, education, infrastructure. And, you know, what we see from the Trump budget is just completely stepping back from having any investment in those sectors, you know, really stepping back from trying to have good public education. And even where there was, during the campaign, I think some rhetoric that supported infrastructure from now President Trump, that's not what he's pushing as president. And it's you know, I suppose disappointing, but it's also clarifying that was really not the agenda. But if we're going to have a society where people are able to get ahead, not just the wealthy, but everybody, you need to invest in these things. And we don't talk about that enough. When we think about taxes and the relationship between taxes and economic growth, people always think about, I think that the Republican frame on this, that, you know, any tax is an attack on human freedom and it's going to be, you know, destroy the economy. And we know, of course, that's not true. And the reason that that's not true is that taxes pay for things like education and infrastructure, scientific research, and the things that we all know that we need to have a strong and growing economy. So, we, you know, when we're thinking about taxes, we ought to be thinking about the investments that those taxes pay for.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I look at Massachusetts, you know, the WBUR just came out with a poll yesterday that pointed out that like 81% of the people in Massachusetts think that they should raise their state income tax on people making over $1 million a year. And I think that's a sane, rational perspective. You know, we want to make sure people get health care. We want to make sure kids get educated. We want to make sure that we have safe neighborhoods. There are things as a society we need, we want. We should be able to pay for those things.
Absolutely. And consistently the result that you get when you ask the American people this, and by the way, this is true not just of Democrats, but also independents and even Republicans, is that they support higher taxes on the wealthy and on corporations. And when you ask people, what's your biggest concern about the tax system? The biggest concern that you hear, what I think I would have expected, is people would be concerned that they're paying too much in taxes. I mean, I think that, you know, you kind of expect that based on what you see in the media and this sort of sense that, you know, that taxes are always this bad thing. But that's actually not true. That's not where most of the American people are. The biggest concern that you hear about the tax system is that some wealthy people and some corporations are not paying their fair share. That's what people want when they hear tax reform. That's not what the Trump budget and what the Congress in their budget is setting up. That's not the tax reform that they're contemplating. They're contemplating more giveaways for the wealthy and corporations. But real tax reform, what people want is to see the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share.
So let me ask you this then, because, you know, if that's completely accurate, and I don't disagree, I don't not believe what you're saying. If that were the case, why is it that all of these anti-tax pledge taking Republicans keep getting reelected and keep bringing us things like this health care bill, which is a massive redistribution of wealth from poor and disabled and children to already wildly wealthy? Why is the budget, which is going to slash programs like LIHEAP and Meals on Wheels, and thus giving massive tax breaks to the wealthy? Why do these people still get elected?
Well, it's an excellent question, and I think to some degree, you know, we've been talking about this agenda for years, and we've seen the Ryan budgets for years, but up until this year, they were always somewhat hypothetical exercises because we had Barack Obama as president, and we kind of knew that, well, they would never actually get a chance, they wouldn't actually have a chance to do it.
Right.
And this year is different. I think that this year has been clarifying, I hope, for voters, that this is really the agenda. I think this is the first time that it's really being taken seriously as something that could actually happen to the country. And I think people are noticing how damaging that would be. Now, as to the question of, well, why do they keep pushing this and how do they keep getting reelected, I think it's also the polling here is really fascinating. You know, as I said, across Democrats, Republicans, independents, people think that the wealthy ought to be paying more taxes, and they oppose tax cuts for the wealthy. There was polling after the 2012 election where the question of whether to extend the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy was a big issue. And Republicans didn't even want to do it. Republican voters said, no, I don't want to keep cutting taxes for the wealthy. But if you just looked in, if you just zoomed in on Republicans who donated to a political campaign and who made more than $250,000 a year, so the Republican donor class of voters, but a pretty limited swath of people, that subset was very supportive of continuing the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. And I think that they've really taken control of the agenda.
So it's a money and politics thing. It's, you know, yesterday Donald Trump had a $10 million fundraiser for his 2020 campaign. So, you know, that's it, right?
Right. I think, you know, when people surround themselves with wealthy campaign donors, and that's who's calling the shots. And, you know, the Koch brothers just had their retreat that had a lot of lawmakers attending that. You know, the thing that people missed with the Trump budget, which was extreme and awful, but there was this really misguided view that, well, this is so out of the mainstream that this has to be dead on arrival. And it's really not. And I think that's what we're going to see when the Congress moves to their budget after after healthcare is dealt with in one way or another. I expect to see a budget from the House and probably also from the Senate potentially, and then an agenda following that budget that looks a lot like the Trump budget. And that budget, as we said, the whole point of that budget is to create what we call a reconciliation process to pass partisan legislation without any Democratic votes. And that's really just going to be a Trojan horse to pass the most controversial cuts in the Trump budget, the cuts to nutrition assistance and the tax cuts for the wealthiest people, the cuts to programs for people with disabilities, the tax cuts for corporations. I mean, all of these things are going to be enabled by this budget resolution. And so when people say, well, the Trump budget was so nuts, it's got to be dead on arrival, it's really not. And I think we'll see that very clearly when Congress turns to its budget.
Yeah, well, again, I don't call it the Trump budget. It's the Ryan budget.
It is.
The Heritage
Absolutely.
Foundation budget. This is who they are. And the reason I asked, you know, why, this is who they've told us they are for you know, almost a generation now. And only now we're waking up to the reality of they've been telling us this is who they are. And now this is who they are?
I think that's right. You know, I mean, this has been the agenda for some time now. You know, the 2016 election, I think it was really... it was very hard to get people to pay attention to what would happen substantively. What would the policy implications of the election be? And I think a lot of people felt like after seeing gridlock for so long under President Obama and a Republican Congress that had no interest in working with President Obama on anything, and they got used to thinking that the gridlock was just a state of nature, that it was always, that we always were going to have gridlock because that's just how it is. And that's not the case. And you know, there was some stories written, but very little, I think, recognition of what, you know, taking this agenda seriously, what does it actually mean for people? And what I think we're seeing after the election, now that this is becoming real, is a growing recognition that these kinds of cuts, when they're talking about taking away health care from 22 million people, taking away protections for pre-existing conditions, cutting funding for things like Meals on Wheels, and then doing all this to cut taxes for the wealthy, this is really an agenda that's a direct threat to the lives and livelihoods of ordinary people. This is not some abstract debate that takes place in Washington but really doesn't matter outside of Washington. I mean, this is something that really is fundamental to the pocketbooks of families across the country. And are they going to have things like food on the table and health care and education? And more, I think that is coming through, that this is real. This is a very real threat. And we need to take this policy very seriously. This isn't a hypothetical exercise anymore where there's a scary Ryan budget, but you know, he can pass it in the House, but it's not going to happen. He has a president who, as you said, basically made the Ryan budget his own budget.
Yeah, because he didn't want to do the work of actually writing his own budget. And I look at that policy after policy. There's nothing that comes out of this White House, in my view, that Trump actually knows anything about. He just, oh, this sounds like a good idea. Let's move it along. But here's the thing. You go back to, you're taking health care away from all these people. The frame from the right wing is, well, these people, they chose not to buy it. They should have the choice not to have insurance, Harry.
Right. And this is, you know, just a bizarre kind of conception of what I suppose we think of. I think most people, when they think of freedom, that means freedom to not, you know, be terrified of contracting an illness and having and being driven into bankruptcy by the costs or not being able to access medical care. You know, the thing about the healthcare debate that I think is really important here is when we say 22 million people lose health insurance or the people with pre-existing conditions won't be covered or that insurance won't actually be there for you when you're sick, even if you do have insurance, this is not some abstract world that we have to really struggle to contemplate. This was the world a few years ago before the ACA. People used to go bankrupt all the time.
Yep.
Because of medical expenses, because they unexpectedly got sick. And oftentimes, and a lot of those people had health insurance, but the health insurance wasn't there for them when they needed it. And you know, that's something I think that a lot of voters remember. That's not some abstract world. And so I don't think that people are going to be fooled by this sort of view of freedom, I suppose, that is essentially just the world before the Affordable Care Act, where people didn't know if their insurance was going to be there for them when they were sick, when people went bankrupt due to high medical costs, and when you had just more and more people every year going without health insurance. And now we've driven the uninsured rate to a historic low, but that's not going to continue if we pass the bills that are being considered in the Senate now to repeal the Affordable Care Act.
Now we're going back to the future where we had 50 million plus uninsured. And as you pointed out, you know, I know a family who two kids got leukemia. They were just young girls. They lost everything. They both had really good jobs. They both maxed out their insurance because caps were at $1 million. And that got eaten through almost immediately. They couldn't find other insurance. It was a horrible nightmare. And it seems where we're going, evidently where we are going back to as a society. Sad stuff. Harry, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Always great talking with you.
Good talking to you, too.
Always good. Harry Stein, Director of Fiscal Policy there at the Center for American Progress. You want to check out their stuff, AmericanProgress.org, the website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show.
Get up and take your money. All they want to do is get up and take your money. All they want to do is get up and take your money.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.